Thank you, Lord, for your presence, God, for all you do, who you are. Lord, we're forever moving from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from encounter to encounter with you, Lord. So I thank you. Today, Lord, you tell us they're just new every morning, and as great as your faithfulness to us, thank you that you're the God of hope. You always speak hope. So, Lord, I just pray today that that would be, Lord, overshadow my weakness. And, Lord, we just have fun talking about you, who you are. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. We spent a little time in Song of Solomon. Felt like the Lord told me that he'd be taking me there a little bit during this time in my life, little season. And there really are seasons, you know, especially if you get. If you didn't have that word season, it'd be hard to give a prophetic word, wouldn't it? You're in a season. Without that, what would we tell them? But we are always in a season of walking with and going from, as I prayed earlier, from revelation to revelation of God, right? I was talking to someone earlier, and we were just talking about that, you know, how everything that comes to us, you've heard me say this before, comes to us by way of revelation, not by information, right? Information is here. We think we got to get it here in the mind. And I think the best thing I've ever heard of, I think Graham Cook said it and said, why would God speak to the hardest part of your body, which is your head? He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to the eyes of our heart is here, right? Center of our new creation, our eyes are down here. We're kind of like a squid or something, you know. We have a big eye in here, and that's where we get it first. And then we don't need to get it from here to here. We need to get it from here to here. That's how our minds are renewed. First, we get to see who he is, and then he begins to change our thinking. And in chapter 2, I was just reading, I really like chapter 2, there's so many cool things here we could talk about. And, you know, when he starts off about the speaking to us about being the lily of the valley, the rose, you know, who we are to him, you know, lilies meaning resurrection and you know, he's not the lily of the valley, we are. Even though that's a good song, right? It's a good old song we grew up with, singing, he's the lily of the valley, but we are. And it talks about here about sitting in his shade. It says this in 3, verse 3, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. It's the bride you're talking about, the Jesus. So is my beloved among the young men. And in his shade I took great delight, and I sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You know, that we are created. And this is something that we all know. I've been talking about that a lot, about learning how to just sit in God's presence. People call it soaking in his presence, or just sitting in God's presence, listening, right? As we do, we speak, we pray, and then there's a time of listening. You know, I was talking to someone recently. We used to, ministry group I was with, the Navigators, which are really good group of people. They're really big on discipleship, you know, leading people to Christ and discipling them, and really big on scripture. You know, you've got to have the hand, like you've got to. You can't just read the word. That's like a thumb, you know. You can't hold your Bible with just your thumb. You got to read and study the word, but that still doesn't get a good grip. You got to read, study, and meditate on the word. Gives you a better grip. Read, study, meditate, and memorize, right? You're getting a better grip on that. Still not quite there, but you read, study, memorize, meditate, and apply it. Then you have a good grip on the Bible. Right. And so we would, you know, we lived with a group of guys, and every day we would, we had this little chart out there, and the chart had everybody's names on it. And then we would, as we went out for the day to our jobs, we would check off whether we had our quiet time or not, right? Our quiet time with the Lord. So you didn't want to have your name up there without a little check by it or a little star by your name. So you would just, I mean, if you were in the whatever, in the bathroom, you'd open up your Bible and read something just to say, you know, and to check this off. But that's just information, right? God can give us that. And as Paul said, I'm afraid lest, as the serpent tempted Eve, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity of being in Christ. So this part, I love this part because this is a part of learning how to sit in his shade and letting him feed us from his mouth, from his fruit, and learning how awesome it is, right? But that's not kind of what we're talking about here. We're talking about those times is when we get a revelation from the Lord, right? Brings us to his banqueting table. And sometimes when we get a revelation from the Lord, he's just always moving. He just doesn't give you a revelation of him and you just kind of, you know, pitch a tent, sit there. It's time, arise, my darling, in chapter 2 and come along, you know, for the winter's past, the spring has come, the sound of the turtle doves in the land, you know, they're just time of new growth, new revelation that God has given you. And I love this part where we'll concentrate here. It's a few minutes. There's, oh, my dove, in the in the clefts of the rock, in the crag of the rock. I like that because that's where my name comes from. In the secret place of the steep pathway, that's where he brought him, you know, when he said, come along, let me see your form and let me hear your voice, because your voice is sweet to me and your form is lovely. Wow, that just blows your mind right there, that God thinks my voice and your voice is very sweet to him, and even loves our very appearance, the things that we reject, right? Now, we reject our appearance, but if you've ever listened to yourself on a tape recorder, how many of you have ever said, oh my God, is that me? Do I really sound like that? I don't think I've known anyone that said, oh my gosh, I sound so cool. I love how I sound. Is that me? Oh my gosh, I sound wonderful. We all say the same thing, right? That's me? Oh my God, I sound like a, you know, country hick or whatever. It's amazing how the voice we hear here when we speak is different when it's recorded, right? It sounds so different. Anyway, but after this place of bringing and things budding and things growing, then this is where it says this. We talk about the little foxes, right? Let's catch the foxes for us. These little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while the vineyards are in blossom, okay? When these things are blossoming, when the Lord is beginning to reveal himself to us in a new way, right? That's the time that the foxes come, while they're in blossom, where they try to come and steal. But mainly, I think the biggest way the enemy works against us is distracting us, right? It's when, we get this cool thing from the Lord, or he's speaking to us, and things are budding and blooming in our walk, in our relationship with him, and all of a sudden, the foxes come. You know, they try to come and try to nip at it or steal what the Lord is speaking and what the Lord is saying to us. So, very important. And two, one thing I want to catch here, it says this, it's really a prayer. It's, Lord, catch the foxes for us, right? And that Jesus is really committed to me and to you to catching those foxes, right? Because we have an encounter with God and about his, his peace, you know, his love for us, his joy, his peace. And all of a sudden, something very stressful happens there to come to try to nip at that, right? And a prayer is to him, hey, Jesus, I'm just putting it in terms of you, the Lord, Father, catch the foxes for me, right? Because while these things are blooming, he's going to do everything he can to try to throw me off track and to distract me, right, from what he's doing. But then I love how it goes on to say that my beloved is mine and I'm his, and he pastures his flock among the lilies, which is a really cool thing, because really that means, in a very simple term, God pastors like a pasture, you got the pasture, right, where you go eat in the pastor store of a flock. God pastors our new creation, right? He doesn't pastor the old man, the one that has died, right? You can't pastor something dead. I remember we used to go hunt at this place out in Benton growing up, and these people were cattle farmers, and you would have to walk to get to the place where you were going to hunt. They had a place where they would bring all the dead cows. And so you would have to walk through the place where all the dead cows were to get to the place where you were going to hunt. So not a very pleasant smelling place, right? Now what shepherd or farmer, he can't pasture those cows, right? They're dead. So Jesus pastors the new creation. He speaks to us as new creations, right? He doesn't speak in the past. The blood of Jesus is acid, just covers everything. He always speaks hope, life, right? Joy, all those things that he is. So he pastures us. He pastures the new creation. And then it says this. I really love this. Until my beloved is mine and I'm his. That's one of the things he really, really wants to get down in us. That he not only is my inheritance, but you are his inheritance. Pastor us, right? By the Holy Spirit. Not only does we pray that he catches the foxes for us who are just trying to come and steal, that's all they can do is just lie. But it says this, my beloved is mine and I'm his. He pastors his flock among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away, right? And a shadow is something that, the way the Lord showed to me, to where it makes real sense to me, a shadow is something that blocks, like I think of it as a cloud that's blocking the sunlight so you can't see, right? And part of our relationship with him, every revelation that we get about his true nature parts the clouds. It begins to move the clouds out of the way. It begins to move those things that block me from seeing who he really is. And that's been one of my prayers through this time in my life, is just praying to the Lord, Lord, I really want to know who you really are. I really want to encounter who you really are. I want to know the father of Luke chapter 15, when, you know, the prodigal away returned, the person he encountered, right? That's the father. And Jesus explains him. And anything apart from that is a lie, right? So he's so committed to us. That's what I want you to see today. He's so committed to you. And I want to catch the foxes that are trying to get the blossoms. And two, he moves the removes the shadows, remove the clouds. And he says, Lord, continue speaking to me, or speaking to this new creation that I am in you. Continue to do that until they're moved. Remove the things that where I don't see you for who you really are. And every one of us in here, we've all had revelations of part of God's nature, but none of us know it fully. And we'll always know that, even as heaven, you know, we'll be discovering his majesty, just different sides of his otherness or his holiness. You know, I remember his bishop that talked about that, you know, as the things are flying around in heaven and they're saying, holy, 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 you know, that other, just, you're just so other. They're saying that for eternity because they're always getting new glimpses of who he really is. So as he continues to, or we allow him to pastor in the pasture are new creations, speaking to us as new creations, then the shadows and the clouds will begin to disperse and flee. And then it says this, turn, my beloved, this is the Christian speaking to Jesus, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle. It's in this really fast. Or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. And that word Bether, you know, I had down here spices, can mean spices, but actually the word Bether in Hebrew means separation. So come to me, Lord, remove the clouds. And also any place where I feel that I'm disconnected from you, where I feel there's a disconnection there, right? Come to me. An early part of chapter 2 is talking about the Lord coming, you know, leaping on the mountains and jumping, you know, giving them pictures of like how these mountain goats, which we talked about one day this week or last week, I talked about them, you know, how they are able to jump and climb these cliffs that just seem almost impossible. I believe the Lord uses that because it just seems that they can do the impossible. That is, you continue to pastor this new creation that I am in Christ, which he never uses condemnation, guilt, shame, or anything. If you're hearing those kind of things, that's the dead cows, okay? That's not who you are. You're not sitting in his shade, and you're not, he's not feeding you this, his delicious word, right? But you continue on, and he will catch the foxes. He'll begin to remove the clouds and the shadows that block his glory, seeing who he is, and he will remove the places of separation, of disconnection, where we feel real disconnected from the Lord, you know? And we can have all this, you know, I can have some good encounters with God here and know him here and over here. I can feel that there's a separation, you know? I can feel, talking about that a lot, about abandon or that orphan spirit type thing, you know, especially in times of decision or crisis when you feel really alone, right? Well, that's feeling forsaken, or you haven't done enough, or you haven't done it right, so therefore God's not going to come through for you because you haven't been doing right. You haven't been having your quiet time. You don't have your star, your check. You haven't read your Bible. You haven't prayed, all that kind of stuff, right? That can cause a separation in my emotions, which doesn't need to be there, which isn't true, right? So he comes like a gazelle very quickly and closes that separation to let you know there really is no separation. And that he's faithful, part of who he is. He never changes. That's so cool. Somebody said that's one of the simplest things I've ever heard. You know, knowing what we think about God is the most important thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of true. But when if I'm like, yeah, I see that, because you never change. Your character never changes. I'm all over the place, you know? I'm bouncing all over the place like a pinball or a ping pong ball. But you don't change, God. And you close those gaps and you get those foxes and you remove those clouds when you show me who you are, who you really are, that you never change. So, Lord, and that's a prayer I pray, in which he's going to show me is places where I may have a real disconnect from the Lord. Why I have a hard time being still or sitting still. A lot of people have a hard time sitting still or being still in God's presence, right? They just they get real busy and want to get up and move. And, you know, a lot of that can be thinking of the stuff we got to do too, but that can be a place of disconnected that sometimes afraid what he's going to say, because maybe he's going to reaffirm to me how I feel about myself, because I feel I'm disappointed in myself. So he's going to reaffirm all that. Say all that, I just don't really want to hear it. Lie, dead cow, right? He pastures among the lilies. Resurrection, the new creation, the resurrected life of Christ, right? He closes all those gaps. Isn't he cool to do that? He catches the foxes. He removes the clouds. He closes the separation. Not you, right? You know what he tells you to do? Sit. He brought me to his banqueting table. That, the word abide means to remain, means to sit down, right? Amen. Okay.